Before I deliver my sermon, I have greetings from the bishops of Connecticut to you. Dear companions in Christ, happy Easter. Blessing on this most holy of days. The story of the resurrection of Jesus claims our day and our lives. Alleluia. We proclaim and claim Alleluia. We claim the truth of the resurrection in the honest light of our present stories. What a week we've had. What a holy week. Our journey to the cross this year has included our grief at the death of our brother Jack Spaeth, faithful servant to the Episcopal Church in Connecticut for decades, while the same day we watched the historic Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris become engulfed in flames. We hold these two losses and countless others as we journey to the cross, witnessing the death of our Lord on Good Friday. Our stories mingled with Christ's stories, our tears a mix of emotions for the past and for our present as well. But our faith is an Easter faith. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty, the hope is true. God is the God of compassion and new life. And we claim that joy. We see in the resurrection of our Lord. We know it when we think about our dear friend Jack Spaeth, now embraced in the arms of the God he served so well. We know it in the reality that Notre Dame, a cathedral that has held the prayers of countless pilgrims from around the world for centuries, faithful men and women praying to the God of resurrection, will be restored and have new life. Claiming Alleluia is an audacious act of life in the face of death. We are to claim such life in our own lives and then share it with others. Mary at the tomb, believing in the truth of the resurrection, went and told others what she had seen and heard. Our Alleluias must do the same. Proclaiming Alleluia in word and action, speaking out against injustice and binding up the brokenhearted. The world needs our Alleluia. God is calling us to claim it and proclaim it. The tomb is empty. New life is real. How shall you claim and proclaim this glorious truth? Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. The Right Reverend Ian T. Douglas, Bishop Diocesan, the Right Reverend Laura Ahrens, Bishop Suffragan. Our 60-year-old next-door neighbor to the church often stops by to visit, usually with a story. A couple of months ago, Mr. Yap stopped to share this amusing story for Easter, which of course I have to pass on to you. He said, a bishop one day was at a parish visitation and he liked to visit the kids in the Sunday school. He went into a classroom of younger kids and asked, what can you tell me about Easter? Three confident youth stepped forward. The first said, I love Easter, it's one of my favorite holidays. You get up in the morning and you already smell pies baking to take to grandma's house later for a big family dinner. We all go to grandma's, sit down and give thanks for all the blessings of our life. We eat turkey and stuffing and my favorite, the cranberry sauce. Everyone watches football games in the afternoon. Yes, Easter is just great. The second child says, no, that's not right. Easter is my favorite holiday. You go to bed that night before you try to fall asleep as quickly as possible. Then you get up real early to go downstairs, and there you will find all kinds of presents for the whole family under the tree. We have breakfast and then open the presents with our names on it. We spend much of the rest of the day playing with our toys, and Grandma comes to our house for dinner. Easter is the best. The third child says, no, neither of those stories is true. Easter is the feast that comes at the end of Lent. It comes at the end of a special week when you remember the Jewish Passover Jesus has with his disciples. It's his final meal before he's arrested and that night and tortured by the Romans, carries a cross that he is made to carry, is nailed to it, and dies. They take his body and lay it in a tomb. His followers come a few days later, early in the morning, and to their surprise, the stone to the tomb is rolled away, and he's not there. Then he appears to them because he is risen from the dead. The bishop says, "That is very good, Johnny. You told the story of Holy Week and Easter perfectly." Confident with his answer, the boy then adds, "And don't forget, if he turns around and sees his shadow, we have 6 more weeks of winter." Now that's one creative kid. Yet this confusion is not hard to understand in our contemporary culture, in which fewer and fewer people understand or value what we are doing in these 4 walls. It reminds me of another true story. I had a colleague in D.C. for many years. He was originally from Connecticut, and Bill's parents were coming to visit his family over Easter. The parents asked in the morning, where were they going to church? Now, the kids never went to church and knew very little about it. So when the grandparents asked the question, Bill's son Jonathan said, "Grandma, we can't go to church today. It won't be open. It'll be closed. It's a holiday. It's Easter." My friend Bill was totally busted. Out of the mouths of babes. Yet this story is not unusual for our day. For most, Easter is a time of egg hunts and baskets with chocolate and a big dinner, and that's it. That's why we have a witness in strong contrast to that with our family here today with 4 children to be baptized. Chris and Chad have felt a desire for their children to know the importance and value of a faith community. Having moved to Hebron more than a year ago, they tried out various churches. Some of them were conservative in their understanding of scripture and tradition, and their family did not feel welcome. They wondered if our church would be open to their family. I said, "By all means. They hired me after all and welcomed my kids." So they tried it on for a time and felt comfortable, and the kids had a place. So they are here with us this morning. Easter is the feast of new life that comes in surprise and wonder. After a long winter of cold, with the earth having gone underground, Easter comes when the world itself is waking up to new life, showing us life and light win over darkness and death. This is the story of the natural world and of our lives as well. We have just completed the journey into death of Holy Week and come to this last chapter of the story in which Jesus once and for all conquers death, and resurrection life comes not only for Jesus but for all of us as well. That is why Easter and the entire Easter season is a special time for the church to perform baptisms. The ceremony of baptism is a ritual demonstrating that natural cycle of life being not the last word defeating death. In the sacrament of baptism, we pour water on the baptized, or when possible, fully submerge them under the water as a sign of their dying to their old life and rising out of water into new life. Here at St. Peter's, when a child is baptized who are part of Sunday school, we invite those children that are present in the congregation to to come up and help me baptize the child or the children. All of you are here today as because you seek something more than the signs of spring marked by sugar and chocolate. You are here today because you are hoping for something from the story of Jesus rising from the dead. What strikes me this Easter as I listen to the story is that the thing that comes out again and again from the reading we just heard is the surprise of all the people involved. There is the surprise of the women who did not find the body of Jesus. There is their surprise and sheer terror when angels in clothes that gleamed like lightning appear to them. There is surprise of the apostles who hear the news of the women as they rush back from the tomb, all hot and breathless, trying to explain what happened, that the men pretty much dismiss. There is the surprise of Peter who sees the strips of linen lying by themselves and wondered what was happening. And it is this surprise of everyone involved that the Easter story gives us assurances that something dramatic did happen and really took place. If this was some kind of invention like a novel by Dan Brown, then you might expect at this point in the story everything to fall in place. As the hero returns back to life, all threads of the story suddenly come together, and everyone realizes just what Jesus was talking about and eagerly proclaims him as their Savior and Lord. But in fact, apart from the women who dimly remembered some words of Jesus, the whole Easter story is shrouded in mystery and confusion, because this is what life is really like when something unexpected happens to us. People are thrown off by the course of events. Others find it hard to believe your story. Everyone is left with questions and a sense of puzzlement and loss. The account of Easter Sunday tells us we are dealing with no make-believe or pretend, but a solid and reliable core of truth that will last well beyond our celebrations today. And lastly, with the Easter event, as through baptism, we are fully adopted as members of Christ's body, the church. All of us who have been baptized are adopted into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I explained to the children being baptized today when I went to their home, you gained a forever family by being adopted as children of Chad and Chris. Now you are adopted into an additional new family, the body of Christ that is the church. We and they, through baptism, have gained a new family of everyone here and everyone around the world who also has been brought into this family of Christ. It is now our job to support these baptized as well as one another in their new life in Christ. My brothers and sisters, may this Easter be a time for us to reconnect with the promises made at our own baptism and to affirm our adoption as members of the body of Christ. May you all have a truly blessed Easter, and may the surprise and joy of Easter be yours now and forevermore.